Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
I'm not in a mood for drama tonight, Jason.
Why are you always trying to stir stuff up, Jason?
Is on Rutledge and Hamilton.
I don't know if I will go as far as you will.
With Jim Rutledge and Matt Hamilton.
All right, boys.
All right.
Be good.
Presented by Coors Light.
We are thrilled to be joined by proud papa, Jason Wilde. And Jason, we understand you are joining us from your daughter's athletic competition. So tell us where you're at, and here's some big news out of it, too.
Be accurate, I'm now joining you from the laundry room because she has completed her track meet.
Oh, okay. But, all right.
Which I've got a lot of laundry to get done, too. I'm always you know me. I'm always working.
Absolutely.
But Maddie competed in a track meet today. She won the long jump, which was pretty exciting, and she finished third in the miles. So she clearly was fortunate enough to get some great athleticism from her mother, and so I'm very proud of her. So I'm and most importantly, she ran the 1600, the 400, the 100 meter hurdles, a leg in the 4x200 relay, and did the long jump, and got them all done before Rutledge and Hamilton called at 5:30. That's what I call a good teammate and daughter.
That's a packed day, Jason. That's a lot of competitions to take part in. I thought the track, for track meets, you kind of special. I mean, maybe you're a little young for it, but like you specialize a little more. She's doing everything.
Yeah, that's the idea, Colin. You're right. And her coaches were giving her a hard time for maybe trying to do a little too much. But, you know, that's she's
the nature of being a great athlete. Yeah, nature of being a great athlete.
I wouldn't know, but that's what I hear. Yeah.
So, Jason, though, I want to get to some more, like, non-fantastical questions. But so the WNBA, the Golden State Valkyrie, I thought that was a fun name. And we threw out this question. We got a lot of people responding in on it. And Ryan's posting the poll question here. And Ryan, can you hop over and help me remember what the teams are? We crowdsourced our audience that if Milwaukee got a WNBA team, what should the team name be? And here's the best ones we thought from our audience, our top four. You pick one.
So our top four were the Robins, the Breakers for ships that break the waves on Lake Michigan. Then there's the Frost or the Buckets.
Okay, and we find the 1970s Milwaukee Does to be too wimpy,
possibly in poor taste.
Bimby's mother being shot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that one was thrown out a few times.
Deer.
Yeah, that one was out there. It didn't make the cut.
I don't blame you. I got no problem with that. But I do remember being a kid growing up in Milwaukee, and I did not get to attend a Does game at any point, but I do remember them existing. I'd have to do a little more research to figure out just how many seasons they had and that sort of thing. Look, I would love nothing more than for Milwaukee to get a WNBA affiliate. Sydney and I went to a Chicago Sky game when they played the Liberty. Her favorite player is Sabrina Ionescu, and she did not play. She had a calf injury or something, so she was kind of bummed about that. But it was an awesome experience, and she got to meet Lisa Byington, who's the voice of the Sky, which was pretty awesome, too, along with being the voice of the Bucks. So it's a great atmosphere. It's a great product. I have a T-shirt that says, "Watch More Women's Basketball," that I've had for a long time. I think it's great that it's finally getting more attention, thanks to Caitlin Clark. But there are a lot of other great players that people should be excited about and would enjoy watching. Sydney's new girl is Kiki Rice, who plays at UCLA.
Yep.
But it's great. And I don't think, is there any indication at all that Milwaukee has any chance of this ever happening? I mean, I'm still waiting for that NHL team.
Yeah, I look at it like this, that Indiana's got a team, and then they are expanding. So, I don't know, maybe the next round of expansion. If they added two teams this offseason, maybe the next round. Because
it probably would need to be in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, but if Indiana's got one, well, we should have one. Minnesota's got one. Like, come on. They're sister cities.
Sister cities. Hey, by the way, speaking of sister cities, I am curious because, you know, I like to think of Chicago as a suburb of Milwaukee.
Yeah, most do.
Having grown up there. And I'll tell you what, I have taken a lot of guff for, again, I understand this is what happens when people don't understand how your brain works, and so people just cannot fathom the idea that I'm not a Packers fan, or at least some people can't fathom it. I think some have listened to me long enough to kind of understand it better. But after I said, and I said it on this show, I've said it in a couple of other places, after I said that I want Caleb Williams to be good, so Packers-Bears becomes a real rivalry, and it is more compelling than it has been for the almost the entirety of my time covering the Packers, people have just lit me up. Like, they just think I'm the biggest jerk. And I always say, no, the biggest jerk is Jim Rutledge, and they don't seem to care. But, like, how do you, as a Bears fan, how do you handle kind of the living in this environment? Because I've just gotten a taste of what it's like to be you. And unlike the song by Keith Urban, Who Wouldn't Want to Be Me, I don't want to be Jim if this is what it feels like.
Well, one thing my wife has said that for a long time, that I am very comfortable with not being liked, which is, and look, and that's fine.
People like me.
But I would say that it's, I take it as a compliment, because when you are kind of a innocuous team that nobody's worried about and nobody is concerned about Caleb Williams, like, the more I see Packer fans getting truly upset,
the more you get excited.
The more I realize that it's not just me who thinks that the Bears and Caleb Williams will be contenders over the next few years. It is Packer fans seeing it as well. So I just kind of, it's always reverse. Just like when I talk about the, whatever bothers me or gets me nervous about the Packers as a Bears fan is what I know to talk about as a positive for the Packers. So I just, it's like George Costanza. Whatever my natural inclination is, I just do the opposite.
The salmon swim upstream. So here's the thing. So are you then, as a Bears fan, do you want the Packers to be god-awful terrible, or would you be willing to join my club of how cool it would be if those two teams, with all their history, were at the top of the NFC North on an annual basis, battling for supremacy with these two great young quarterbacks who are, I don't want to say that they're going to be Manning and Brady, but kind of like Manning and Brady, right? Where you just you want them in the same division so you can see them twice a year dueling against each other. That's what I want, and apparently people don't like that I want that.
And I've heard Molly Brown, who's been on the show, she said she wants Caleb to be just a little bit worse than Jordan Love and the Packers to be a little bit worse, or the Bears to be a little bit worse than the Packers, but she would prefer this rivalry be back as well. No, I think a rivalry would be great. I don't really remember. The closest we had, and I think the Packers still won about 65% of the games, but when Lovie Smith was with the Bears in and out, where I think he won, I think he as a coach won 61% of his games as the head coach of Chicago Bears. They would win once in a while against the Packers. They'd win the division once in a while. They got to the Super Bowl. That's the closest we've had to a rivalry, and I would love for that, even that, to be able to come back, where both teams are consistently in the mix, so they're battling out for the conference and let Detroit and Minnesota be the third and fourth place teams. I think that would be a lot of fun, and we've never had that, at least I can truly remember in my lifetime. The closest would have been Lovie with the Bears.
Right, and even during that time, like 05, 06, those 2 years, the Packers were terrible.
Yes.
Like, you know, they had a run late in the season under McCarthy in 06, but in 05, like, they were 4-12. Like, it wasn't like one was 12-4 and one was 11-5, and they were neck and neck. I just, you know, and look, I am always leery of people being labeled as can't miss prospects and that sort of thing. So that, you know, I don't know if Caleb Williams is going to be as good as hoped or as good as advertised, but I'm hoping, and I'm not giving in on this, by the way. I'm not going to bail on this. I don't care how people think I'm an idiot. they're not the first ones. I'm all in. I want Caleb Williams to be good, and I want the Packers Bears rivalry to be relevant for the next decade plus.
And Jason, speaking of Packers-Bears rivalry, NFL schedule release slated for tomorrow night. You guy that gets into it, I know you cover the team, so it's a little different, but is it a little played up? No games for 3 months. Is it really that important to really get wrapped up? And who plays week 7 versus week 10? What's your take on that?
Well, wait a minute now. Let me, Colin, what is your take on it?
You know what I get interested in? I get interested on who plays the holidays, And, you know, I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, so week one, week two, so and week crazy. Three, and when they play in London would might make sense to me, and if there's a primetime game. But week one through week 17, I'm not going to go down and dissect where they're playing here. Do they got 8 days versus not 7 days off then? You know, I don't really get wrapped up yet. I'll more focus on that once you get closer to training camp. But ultimately, I think it's interesting who plays on Christmas, who's going to play on that Saturday before Christmas, who's going to play on Thanksgiving. That's the stuff I'll get interested in.
Yeah, I'm. I knew I liked you. I knew you were a smart guy. I'm the same way. Because, look, we've all heard the old adage, or maybe some people haven't. It's not who you play, it's when you play them in the NFL. And, you know, the Packers were like the epitome of that a couple of years ago when it felt like they played everybody when their best player was hurt. Like, that was the year that, was it 21 or was it 20? Like, Mahomes missed the Chiefs game. And, like, it seemed like every week that their opponent, who was good, was missing a crucial, crucial piece. Might have been 20. And so, you know, I'm going to write a story about the schedule, and I'm going to have all that information, of course, and we're going to talk about it, whatever. But I'm with you. Like, are they playing on Christmas? Are they playing on Thanksgiving? We know they're playing on Friday, September 6th. We know that. But beyond that, like, oh, they're playing this team in week 12. Well, who the hell knows what either of those teams are going to look like in week 12? So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I knew this, but I had not thought about it. So you have a unique perspective on Love-a-Mania because I'm guessing that with Trevor Lawrence, you were like thinking, all right, we got our guy. He was great 2 years ago. And then this past season, he had injuries and whatever else. Like, have you shared any advice for Packers fans in terms of, all right, you can be excited about Love. You obviously deserve to be, but I was excited about Trevor Lawrence. And he is still, even though he had some great moments, had some growing pains. Like, I feel like Packers fans don't see any sort of cautionary tale in the ups and downs that Trevor Lawrence has dealt with, even as a guy who looks like he's going to be, for a long time, a pretty damn good quarterback.
Yeah, and Jason, I'm glad you brought this up. I was on with Jim for a full week. It was 2 weeks ago, and we talked about this a lot. I believe I do have a unique perspective on it because I did think like that. I think even more so than the quarterback position, I think you can expand on that. I think the youth of the team, the youth of the Jaguars, you would say 2 years ago, they won a playoff game. They played the Chiefs pretty well. There's a lot of excitement surrounding that team. They didn't think they needed to address as much as they did. Therefore, they had an easy offseason, a couple pieces here, a couple pieces there, and they ended up getting burnt because of it, whether it was miscommunications, they thought the coaching staff was better than it was, and the developmental, a lot of guys don't take the next step all the time. And that's why I was telling the Packer fans to kind of cut the brakes a little bit. You don't know if Wicks, Dobbs, and Watson are going to be taking that next step, or if Jaden Reed is going to be that much better than last year. And you know, you could say the same thing about Love because it's a year-by-year thing with some of these quarterbacks. But, you know, I get the Packers credit. They got a lot of draft picks coming in. They made some splashes with Jacobs and McKinney and a couple guys here and there. I would say they did a little more, and they probably have a little bit more proven of a coaching staff. But to that same point, NFL is a year-by-year game. I don't believe in the championship window really as much as everybody else does. I think it is really, unless you're a Patrick Mahomes-led team, I think you have to let the dominoes fall where they may, and you get lucky. So I think it's important to kind of have the yellow-orange flag if you're a Packer fan before you speed down the raceway.
Yeah. All right. Good. I'm sorry that I made you do a rerun of last week.
No, please. No,
still worthwhile.
Always happy to talk about the Jaguars.
So,
and aren't we all happy to hear about the Jaguars?
Oh, absolutely. Jason, I'll kind of be allow you to pick the topic you want to talk about here. So which is more ridiculous, the idea that The Athletic put out / in the New York Times that Jordan Love is one of the quarterbacks that could be in line for $60 million a year, or Doug Gottlieb being named the men's basketball coach at Green Bay while still hosting a national radio show? And then my follow-up question is, when will you start coaching UW Stevens Point, or I don't know, whichever one? Which school are you in line for, Jason?
Well, first of all, I mean, I was going to save this and break it on our show, but I just want to let everyone know I will continue to do Wilde and Tausch, but I am going to be Doug Gottlieb's top assistant here at UWGB. You know, our schedules are different. His time window, I think, is different than Wilde and Tausch, 9 to noon. I don't know. I don't listen to his program. But I mean, I guess I get it from a perspective of it is getting UW-Green Bay more attention than it would have gotten otherwise. When I saw it, I thought, all right, the guy obviously has he was a good college player. His dad was a coach. So it was like, okay, it's a little bit unorthodox, but you kind of got left in a tough spot because the Wyoming coach leaves to go be an assistant at Texas Tech, which opens up a job where Sundance Wicks is from Wyoming. He was an assistant there. Like, I don't think any, you know, UW-Green Bay fans can be overly bitter toward him, even with what he did in 1 year of bringing them back to relevancy. But I was like, okay, you know, tough spot. Interesting hire, going to get some attention. And then I saw that I read Scott Vensey's story in the Press Gazette after the news book, and it said he was going to keep doing the radio show. And I was like, really? Like, and I saw Domofsky had a great tweet about how coaches always say, I'm available for you 24/7. That's what coaching is. And that Doug Gottlieb's saying is going to have to be, I'm available for you all the time except 3 to 6 when you have to call into the show. Which I thought was pretty funny. So yeah, I don't know what to make of that. It seems preposterous. I also, you know, I am really, really interested to see how this, I know you guys got to go, but I really want to see how the Love contract plays out, because, you know, I think Packers fans, again, being swept up a little bit, are kind of in the, hey, give him whatever he wants. He's the next guy in the lineage of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And every extra million that you give him is a million that you can't spend on re-signing some of those wide receivers or whatever it ends up being. So I'm not saying to lowball him, but let's not give away the milk and the cow and the farm all to the quarterback when he has 9-10 games of proven ability. I believe he's going to be good. I believe he's already good. I don't know if he's going to be Hall of Fame good. I think he is going to be better than Jared Goff good, but Jared Goff has been to an NFC championship game. He's been to a Super Bowl. He is not a perfect player. He is a flawed player, but you would definitely, if you're going to pay him more and you're going to guarantee more money than $170 million, he better be right, and he better not regress, because, and they better structure it in a way that just in case of emergency and catastrophe, they have a way out of it.
Jason, awesome stuff. Really appreciate it. And congratulations again to Maddie.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. I'm going to go run a mile in her honor. I should be done in about 45 minutes.
Hey, it's the time in. They'll get your ring taken care of. This is Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Rutledge and Hamilton, presented by Coors Light. The mountains are blue, and we can prove it. Follow the show on Twitter at Jim and Matt.